Hi, I'm Jürgen Strauss from InnovaBiz, and welcome to episode number 13 of the InnovaBuzz podcast, the podcast designed to help smart business owners with an interest in innovation and the Internet of Things become even more innovative. Now, in this first episode of 2015, I've got a very special guest for you. It was my absolute privilege to interview Dave Carroll of United Breaks Guitars fame. Dave is a musician, a professional speaker, a passionate consumer advocate, and an all-round nice guy. He shared a lot today with us, gave very generously of himself and his time, and he gave us an insight into what drives him, his passion, what he learned from the United Breaks Guitars experience, and how that changed his life. Now, like many people, Dave had a bad experience with an airline. Nothing unusual there. In his case, United Airlines caused damage to his prized guitar. And as so many airlines did, maybe they still do, I hope not, but as they did in those days, they gave Dave the runaround. They took no responsibility for the damage. 9 months of frustrating chasing and phone calls and letters and emails, and all Dave got was an unwavering and consistent no. So, what did he do? He composed 3 songs, recorded music videos with those songs, and uploaded those videos to YouTube. Those were videos that described his experience with United. Within a matter of weeks, those videos went viral and fed one of the greatest customer service complaint campaigns that was ever mounted. And it had an enormous impact, an impact on United, an impact on Dave and transforming his life. But basically, the story of United Breaks Guitars demonstrated that in today's world of social media, each consumer has a voice and the power to influence change. Of course, as a result of the experience, as I said, Dave's life changed quite dramatically. And in today's interview, he shares some of the story, but also some of the lessons out of that for customer service in the age of social media and some of the initiatives he's now taking forward as a result of his experience and his passion for exceptional customer service. This week's innovation tip comes from one of the things that Dave tells us in the interview. And that is that we're all storytellers. In fact, Dave says that we're in the business of storytelling. The tip is tell your story. What drives you in business? Why are you in business? How do you help your clients? What makes you special? What makes your services or products indispensable? Tell us a story. Tell it in a compelling way. Use tools such as social media, such as your blog, video, images, and of course, if you have a musical talent, then share that with us. Present it in song like Dave did in the example of United Breaks Guitars. The important thing, though, is tell your story. Tell it in an engaging way to your audience. Don't just sell them on stuff. Get them engaged. Tell your story. And further to that, listen to your customers because they two are storytellers and they have a story to tell. So what's their story? Find out what it is that drives them. So keep innovating by focusing on storytelling. Now, before we meet Dave today, a quick competition announcement. This week, the competition prize is sponsored by InnovaBiz, where we help smart, innovative business owners save time and money and grow their business by making their website achieve more. The prize is a copy of Dave's book, United Breaks Guitars, and the subtitle is The Power of One Voice in the Age of Social Media. Dave tells the story in this book, but he also analyzes the whole phenomenon of social media in today's world and what that technology means to business and to customer service. So stick around for details on how you can enter the draw to win that competition prize later on in the interview. Right now, let's get into the Innovation Hive and get the buzz from Dave Carroll.
This is the InnovaBuzz podcast, helping smart businesses be even more innovative.
Hi, I'm Jürgen Strauss from InnovaBiz, and I'm really excited to have here with me today in this episode of the InnovaBuzz podcast, all the way from Halifax in Canada, Dave Carroll, who's a singer-songwriter, an award-winning singer-songwriter, a professional speaker and author, and a passionate consumer advocate. And you'll probably know of Dave Carroll from the United Breaks Guitar Stories, and we'll hear a lot more about that today. So welcome to the podcast, Dave. It's a real pleasure to have you here.
Thank you, Jürgen. It's a pleasure to talk to you from Canada.
Yeah. And what's the weather like over there now?
We had a snowstorm yesterday, and I actually posted a video on YouTube just yesterday of my frustrations at the snow plows, how they weren't plowing in front of my house. So these are the things I'm dealing with here in Canada today.
Yeah. We watch that on the television, and we think, how romantic is it when you see people out throwing snowballs and building snowmen? But yeah, you forget about having to clean up the snow and make it safe for everyone, right?
Yes, there's a price to pay for all that.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Now, for those people that may not know, and I imagine there's not very many of them, Dave did have a full-time career as a musician, as a singer-songwriter with his brother in the band Sons of Maxwell, and had a bit of an experience with United, and this led to the United Breaks Guitars trilogy, which was a song and a set of videos, three videos that Dave put on YouTube. And the first one, I looked the other day, and it's had over 14 million hits. I'm not sure if that's this year, but it certainly, I think it got 10 million in the space of a few months. So it went absolutely viral. And then the whole story after that, of course, what happened and the response of United to the incident and the response of many others as well, is fascinating. So we'll learn a lot more about that. So before we learn about Dave's story, though, I'm going to announce today's competition, and I'm going to give away a copy of the book that Dave wrote, which not only outlines the story that we'll learn a little bit more about today, but also talks about the whole phenomenon and how the power of one voice in today's world of social media can actually make a big difference and bring about some pretty significant change, and we'll learn a little bit about that today. So stay tuned later on in the interview, and you'll learn how to enter the draw to win that prize. So Dave, before we learn more about the whole story of United Breaks Guitars and what happened when you put together the three songs and the videos, let's take you back to your childhood. What were your ambitions? What did you want to be when you grew up?
I remember being, I think I was maybe 3 or 4 years old, and my parents had given me a tool set with plastic screwdrivers and big handles and that sort of thing. And I would flip the screwdriver over and use it as a microphone, because I envisioned myself singing my own original songs to people. And I had envisioned that they really liked my original songs too. So it was the whole package of a dream. Yeah. And so lo and behold, all those years later, when I was 20, I ended up becoming a musician at university, picked up a guitar, just taught myself how to play before the internet was there to show you how to do instruction.
Okay.
And it's turned into a career.
Yeah, that's fascinating. So you knew very early on that music was your passion, and even though your parents perhaps were trying to send you a message there, you turned it around.
Yeah, they were hoping for a carpenter, maybe.
Yeah, okay. So now when the United Breaks Guitar started, tell us a little bit about that. So you were basically touring with the band?
Yeah, my brother Don and I have been in a band. We still continue to play in a band called Sons of Maxwell, named after our dad, Max. Hmm. And we were traveling in March 31st, 2008 with United Airlines from Halifax to the U.S., and we were going to go play in Nebraska, right in the sort of the dead center of America. We landed in Chicago to deplane, and a woman looking outside the plane says, "Oh my God, they're throwing guitars outside." And it turned out that my Taylor guitar that I had bought for $3,500, when I really didn't have $3,500, was really badly damaged. And it set off this really frustrating customer service maze. Yeah. And 9 months later, After continually trying to phone and email people, I heard from one customer service rep, and she told me that because I didn't open a claim within 24 hours, that the damage to my guitar was not going to be compensated, or they weren't going to take any responsibility. And so I decided at that point just to do something else. And my something else as a musician was to do something that never feels like work, which is writing songs. And that's what I did.
Yeah. And so you basically posted three, well, there was over a course of period, right? The first one you posted on YouTube, and it turned out to be a phenomenal success in terms of the reach and the response to it. And so tell us a little bit more about that. What was the response to the video, and what happened at United then, and what did Taylor Guitars do? Because I think that's fascinating. And also the other thing that I found fascinating, because I was following this from probably very early on, that, you know, the parodies that then came up were also quite humorous, but, you know, sending a very powerful message.
Right. Well, you're right. There are three videos. They came out in succession over just over a year and year and a quarter, maybe something like that. My goal was to do all three videos in 1 year, and in combination of the three, I would get 1 million hits was my goal.
Yeah.
But the first one has been the workhorse by far. And I put it up on a Monday in July, on July 6th. And by Friday of that week, it had hit 1 million, and then 2 million on Sunday, and 3 million the week after. So in that first year, I think it had hit maybe 10 million.
Hmm.
And this was at a time when getting 1 million hits was really, it was newsworthy. People would talk about it on the news. And now it seems like, you know, there are videos of kind of forgettable quality, but they're really interesting to watch one time, that have 30 million hits and that sort of thing. But at the time, it was a big deal to get 1 million hits. And it was just the start of social media. And because this was one of the early examples that was doing well, of someone taking social media and using it for something other than showing their cat flushing the toilet, it started to have implications across business. And the implications that came out fairly early on was through, I think, the BBC and The Economist were the first people to talk about it. And they said in September of 2009 that my video was responsible for a 10% market cap drop for United, which amounted to $180 million loss on paper, at least.
Yeah.
And whether that was completely attributed to the video or not, I don't know if it's really relevant or not. It's because it was really a question about branding. And if your brand is nothing more than the sum of the conversations being had about you, then that is truth. If everyone believed it, that's the truth. And so boardrooms around the world started lighting up with referring to this video, because all of a sudden, one customer really did have a ability to affect your brand and detract for it. And no longer could you just pump enough money into an ad agency to come out and have a message that they would control.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a great message that, you know, your brand is the sum of the conversations you have. And now with social media, the people, individuals have the power to generate conversations that can affect the brand.
Well, exactly. And in the tourism industry, for sure, TripAdvisor has more power than many people's individual websites, because of course your message on your website is going to talk about all the things you do well, but TripAdvisor, maybe not, is what people trust, at least, is going to give you the straight poop on what really goes on at your property. So you have to care about those conversations.
That's
so
right.
What I find the video maybe lent some momentum to in all three of them, and as you said, all three videos are up, but and they all tell a story, and an aspect of the story, but the first one's been the workhorse. And what I found is it was kind of transformational, because it started giving people some attention who wouldn't have had it otherwise. It's empowering the customer, giving people voice that didn't believe they had it, and it's also making businesses focus on the idea of a two-way conversation now, and being a better listener. So it's really affected enterprise all over the place.
Yeah, that's a fascinating story, and it's well worth reading the book for those that haven't already done so. Now, tell us then a little bit, what did that lead to for you in terms of opportunities? Because you kind of, I don't know whether you were a passionate consumer advocate beforehand, but you certainly have become one now, and you're a sought after speaker talking about that topic.
Yeah, you're right. When before this, I was an advocate to a degree where I would stand up for myself, or that kind of a thing. But I really wasn't, I never spoke before this. My first speaking event came a few months after my first video went viral in those first weeks. So it was, it's been a baptism of fire, and my life has been completely transformed in the last 5 and a bit years since this. And I've gone from being exclusively an independent singer-songwriter in a band from Canada to most of my efforts these days are in the speaking world, going around sharing this story and watching it develop. Every year, the story develops more and I learn more about it. I meet interesting people like yourself who've maybe studied this in some way or another and bring a perspective that I hadn't considered before. So in many ways, I think that I've been in a 5-year PhD in customer service. And I travel around the world. I do a speaking literally anywhere there's an internet connection. It's possible that I might do a speaking event somewhere. And I've written a book, which you mentioned, and I'm involved in three business startups, two tech and a training program. So the training program is all about storytelling. I'm developing a program called the 5 Stories Workshop that convinces people, hopefully, persuades them that storytelling is more important than ever. And if you want to cut through the noise in a digital environment where everybody's so overwhelmed with information, that the way to reach them is to do it with storytelling.
Yeah.
And there's a right here in Halifax, there's a company called Life Raft that is involved in social media monitoring. And they've taken listening to a whole new level. It's directed mostly at law enforcement and education, especially with the bullying. I don't know down there if it's a big issue, but in university.
Yeah, it definitely
schools.
Is, yeah.
So this is an opportunity for people to listen, for people that might be calling out for help that might not say it at home. And so it's a powerful tool that way, and for law enforcement as well. And then in Australia, I'm involved with a company called Flamingo. And Flamingo is being directed, and CEO is Dr. Katrina Wallace from Sydney, a great friend of mine and a researcher in the customer service space. Mm-hmm. And she's involved in the co-creation space, where companies are now understanding that their customers have a lot of feedback to offer. And she's created a software tool that allows companies to put it in with their CRM and have an exchange of ideas and allow consumers to choose the products they want and their information on their terms. And it's empowering stuff.
Okay. Well, there's some fascinating opportunities there, definitely. I mean, I was going to jump in on the first one, the storytelling coaching. I think there's a huge need for that one, but all three of those opportunities sound really fascinating. And yes, bullying is an issue here that gets talked about. I mean, that's one of the, I guess, risks of social media, that that you know, it's very easy to what's the right word? It's very easy to bully somebody or say bad things without, you know, it's almost a little bit anonymous. And I know we have a person in our network here who is a very big advocate about, you know, the responsible use of social media and talking about bullying, particularly for children and education in schools. Yeah, and the software tool for the CRM sounds fascinating as well, because reputation management is one of the big things that I talk to my clients about, you know, particularly things like you mentioned, TripIt, where people have a look at the reviews, and if you don't own that as a business owner in terms of what are people saying about you, how do you respond to that, and also how do you actively get all the people that have had good experiences with you to actually post reviews there as well, so that there's a balanced view on those review sites. That's something that I'm really keen to follow up on as well.
Well, one of the things that I've sort of noticed and I've been putting a lot of effort into is to make sure that all of the things that I'm doing point back at each other, because it can get a little overwhelming if you're off in all directions. But being so passionate about storytelling, and what's happened to me with my story, if anything, my story shows that everyone has a story to tell, and that if you're creative, your story can jump out. And if businesses understand that now all of their customers are storytellers, that they're in the storytelling business, whether they like it or not, then you need to be able to capture all of this sentiment and all of these stories and make some use of it. So you need tools to do that. So all these things that I'm involved with actually do dovetail nicely into each other.
Yeah, it does seem like a really good fit, yeah. And I guess it's the whole experience and what you've made of it is opening up all these possibilities. You probably get a lot that you say no to, I imagine.
I do, yeah, and I have to think about those things a lot too. I like to make sure that it's sort of within my wheelhouse, or that my integrity is not in question for doing some of the things I get asked to do. When the video went viral, one of the probably within a month, I got a call one night. I was sitting right here in this spot, and I got a call from a guy from China. So it was bad reception, and he had poor English skills, but he says, "Mr. Carroll, I really respect what you're doing with this video, and I want to hire you to do a video for me." And I said, "What's this about?" And he said, "My wife's having an affair with a restaurateur from Las Vegas, and I want you to expose it."
That's great.
I can't take them all. Can't take them all.
Yeah. Okay. So is there something that kind of worries you or frustrates you and keeps you awake at night about all the things that you have on?
Well, because I'm still kind of an independent guy, I have some people who help me, but I don't have a full-time team of people working for me. And so one of the things I worry about is just time management, making sure that I'm giving myself enough to the things that are important to me, and especially my family. I've got two boys now, 5 and 2, and want to make sure that that's happening. But aside from that, the things that I would concern myself with are, I know that I have a platform. I know that they say dance with the one that brung you. And I know that being an advocate and caring about other people on the consumer side is kind of what brought me here. So I want to make sure that I'm never in a position where I'm not looking out for other people, other consumers now, that I believe that you can be a successful business person and care about consumers. Mm. There's a perfect connection, but I don't ever want to be in a position where I've sold out in the eyes of people, and that it's not just a perception that I actually did. I don't want to be in that position.
Yeah, that's great. So making sure you're walking the talk all the time. Yeah.
I had an offer from a major airline in competition with United, and they were doing a new route to Hong Kong. And so they wanted to enlist me to fly on the plane in business class and go experience the city. And they were going to start it from Chicago, so to really understand it and have this great experience. And I thought, great, I'll write a song that brings out the essence of your best qualities. And they kind of wanted me to take a shot at United. So rather than elevate themselves, they wanted to just put the competition
down. Yeah.
And I didn't want to be involved in that. So it was kind of easy to say no, but at the same time, they were offering to pay me to do that sort of thing. And I was half tempted for a second, but you got to say no to some things. Right?
Yeah. Because I guess, you had a bad experience with United, but then there was, over time, the response, they did respond in kind of a positive way eventually, didn't they? I think it was probably a good idea to point that out.
Yeah, well, they kind of did. They got back to me. We talked on the same day it hit 1 million, 5 days after I put the video up. And at that time, they one thing I noticed they didn't do is they didn't use the words, "I'm sorry." They used the words, "I'm regretful."
Yeah.
And I suspect that there might have been a lawyer in the room. I think I was on a speakerphone, and I think there was a lawyer directing them.
Yeah.
Because especially in the United States, saying you're sorry implies guilt, and it implies responsibility.
Mm.
So they were more guarded, and I was aware of that. But they offered $1,200 in flight vouchers, which is what I had asked for, because that's what it cost to repair the guitar ultimately.
Yeah.
And $1,200 in cash. For some reason, and they said, "We're not doing this because you have a viral video. We would do this for any customer." I questioned whether that was true, but I was also aware that there were thousands of people who were emailing me, and many of them were saying, "Please don't take the money. They're going to be offering you something, and you're doing something good for customers." And I was also aware that everybody that had made this video, this first one that was going viral, cost $150 because everyone donated their time and effort.
Yeah.
Because they believed in the idea. And so I wasn't about to take the money at that point, and so I said no.
Hmm. Yeah, and that's a really great part of that whole story. You know, it's not about the money; it's about the principle, and you know, you've turned that then into a passion to educate people about, you know, why good customer service is important. I mean, not just for courtesy and keeping your clients happy, but it's good business, isn't it?
It is, for sure. Yeah. And I say to customers too, you have to be reasonable in what you're asking for.
Exactly.
It's not how to take a company down. You know, I didn't make these videos until I didn't write the first song until after 9 months, and the video came out 7 months after that. There was a lot of opportunity to make this right, and my first reaction just wasn't to assassinate the brand.
Yeah, that's a really good point as well. Now, were you active on social media before this happened, or when did you discover that? Was that sort of your baptism of fire as well?
Yeah, it was pretty much my baptism of fire. I had been on Facebook. I had 400 Facebook friends. So when I put the video up on Monday, July 6th, I sent out two messages. And this is the glory days of Facebook, where you could send one message to everybody's direct inbox, and they would get it as a private message. So I sent one message to all my friends saying, United broke my guitar, watch this video. And I sent one message to everybody in my Outlook Express email. And that was about 300 people. And I say that's the last two times I've ever really asked anybody to watch the video. Mm-hmm. And it went viral from there. So that was pretty much the extent of my social media. Sons of Maxwell had one of the earlier interactive websites. There were threads. You could have a conversation with people. You couldn't see anybody, but we were right on that quite early, actually. But when the video went viral, somebody signed me up for a Twitter account, my assistant Johanna. Yeah. And I was tweeting before I knew what it was, and I was against the word tweet. I thought it sounded silly, and I was resentful that I had to stop at 140 characters. But I'm glad she did, because there's a zillion Dave Carrolls in the world, and I'm at Dave Carroll. Dave Carroll to get in. That's one of my main social media accomplishments.
Yeah, that's it's often hard to find people that have names that are fairly common.
Yeah,
so that's great. Yeah. So did you see any risk in this kind of approach? I mean, generally I ask my guests, what do they see as the risks or the opportunity costs involved in kind of being on the edge of innovation?
The risks were, I was aware that there could be a risk about saying something about a brand and being sued for it. So I sent the lyrics to a lawyer, and they had a look at them, and they said, you know, is everything here you're saying true and accurate? And I said it was. So they said, you should be fine, especially in the United States where satire is your right.
Yeah.
And so I was assured that, as relatively assured as you can be, that they wouldn't sue me, or they couldn't sue me for that. And aside from that, that's the beauty of social media, is that whereas before it might have taken a lot of money to make a video like that, or how would you get it out, distribution, but the opportunity cost of spending a day together, make this video for $150 and then posting it to YouTube one night and going to bed and starting a media frenzy, it's so easy to do if you have a message that cuts through. So it's really about creativity, but it's not so laborious anymore to create a message.
Yeah, and it looked like everybody was having a ball on that video too.
Oh, we all had a great time.
Yeah.
And you can see that there were some edit points where people had started to laugh and they had to go to something else. Where, you know, there was no one being overly critical. If you watch the three amigos, I call them, behind me, a lot of times they're not even singing the right words. there was no second takes, and they were hearing the song for the first time that day.
Yeah. Yeah, no, it's quite inspiring in many ways. And as I say, it clearly looks like everybody's having fun. Even the people playing the United hostesses.
Yeah, for sure. And I guess that was one of my biggest lessons too, is the fun didn't start at the point of the video. It started on the day that I decided to write the song. And that was 7 months earlier. And I remember laughing while I was writing these things, and I'm a visual person. So I was seeing some of the things that ended up being the video while I was doing that. And I instantly felt empowered. And if I did one thing wisely throughout this entire process, is that I understood that it was a process, and that I was able to enjoy each thing along the way, from the writing to the song, to making the demo, to making the recording, to then making the little plane that goes across the screen.
Yeah.
That took me four hours to make that.
Okay.
The whole thing was a lot of fun. And so when we finished shooting the video that day, I left thinking that it didn't matter if anybody ever watched this video because you could see the fun that we had.
Yeah.
And that alone was worth it and empowering.
Yeah.
And so I tell people to always enjoy the process. It's not in terms of making a viral video, which you can't even do anyway. Mm. Yeah. People talk about it like it's ordering a hamburger, just make a viral
that's
video.
That's right, yeah.
But it's less about the count than it is about, you know, the process of how you get there.
Mm. Yeah, yeah. Well, that's another really important message, isn't it? I mean, I think it's applicable across the board in anything you do. You know, enjoy the process, enjoy the journey, and the results often turn out better if you focus less on the end, you know, trying to achieve that viral video status rather than enjoying the process. Sure, have a goal, but enjoy the process of getting there.
Yeah.
Hmm. All right. So if you had a magic wand that you could fix one thing about everything you're doing in your business and in your kind of all your entrepreneurial endeavors, what would that be?
Yeah. If I could do something like that, I would. Getting the message out, it never ends as the challenge today. When I was in Australia, I went to a tech startup, and there were big companies there as well, but it was a conference of some kind. And around the edges, that's where the small startups were, and I think there was 150 of them. And each one of them felt that they had the answer to whatever they had built.
Yeah.
And it's hard. It's a very noisy environment. And so I'm involved in some businesses that I believe have real value. They make the world better in some way. And I want people to know about them. So it's how do you get the message out? How do you get people's attention? And that's what I focus on. That's what if I had a magic wand, everyone would be using my stuff.
Yeah.
And they'd be getting a CD for their efforts as well. I'll throw in a free CD if they everyone.
Okay. Excellent. All right. Well, there's an incentive. the part of that is telling a good story to get the message out, isn't it? Which comes back to one of your initiatives. Yeah.
Yeah, it is, and it's so important. With the Five Stories workshop that we're working on, we approach it with the idea that there are five perspectives, and there's that parable of the blind man and the elephant, where elephant comes into a village, and there's five blind men that go out, and they each take up a different position around the elephant, touching it in a certain spot, but no one of them can identify what it is. One thinks that the tail is a rope, and the other thinks that the leg is a pillar. And it's only when the five perspectives come together that they see what they actually have.
Okay, yeah.
And so with business organizations, they should understand that there's five perspectives, and it's not just the company story of telling people when they started and how they do things. There are certain perspectives that leaders can use, certain stories within the company. The employees are storytellers, and they, when they go home every night and they talk to their friends and family, what they say about what it's like to work at that place is going to affect people's interest in doing business with them. And of course, there's the customer perspective. Every customer is a storyteller. And I think if you own a business where customers are coming into your door, you should consider them storytellers and say, we just had 50 storytellers in here today.
Mm.
And it changes your perspective. And then finally, the fifth story is the where are we going story, because that's the one that people want to know what they can expect from you going forward.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a fascinating approach. It's a good analogy too, yeah. Bringing all the perspectives together to form a more accurate picture.
And that sort of ties in with what I was saying about the company Life Raft, or just whether it's this company or any company, monitoring social media with all those different perspectives. And if you buy into the idea that other perspectives matter as well, then you need to be a great listener, and you just can't wait for the stories to pop up. You sort of have to proactively go out and listen to them and engage in the conversations as well.
Hmm. Yeah, that's a great message, yeah. Now, this might sound like a silly question because it sounds like you're really enjoying everything you're doing, but how do you stay balanced? What do you do when you're not working on Dave Carroll Enterprises?
Music has always been kind of my passion, and so it's the thing that relaxes me the most, and it's also the thing that keeps me most excited.
Yeah.
And so when I'm alone, I like to just play around. I haven't been doing as much writing as I wanted to in the last 2 or 3 years, and so I'm doing some creative projects. I'm being hired now to to write songs for organizations and companies that want the best essence of who they are brought out. And so it's kind of working, but for me, it's kind of relaxing at the same time.
Yeah, that's your hobby almost, your passion. Do you still perform?
I do. I still play with my brother Don in Sons of Maxwell. Mm-hmm. Christmas is a busier time for us, but we have a couple of Christmas recordings. So we do more touring and performing in November, December than we do at other points in the year now. He's also a full-time firefighter, so he had started doing that just before the video went viral, so he's got a career, and we meet for music things. And I also play, I've got a couple of CDs of my own, and I perform all over the place wherever I go.
Okay, all right. Well, we'll have a link to Dave's website there, and I'm sure they're all listed there. I didn't actually go to the music page when I was researching this, but I have seen a lot of them in the past, yeah. So, you've told us a little bit about what you're currently working on. I think it's time to move on to our, what we call the buzz, which is our innovation round. And there's about five or six questions we ask you to help the audience understand, you know, what's involved in somebody that's leading the way in innovative endeavors and what advice would they give. So first question there is, what do you think is the number one thing anyone needs to do to be more innovative?
I think possibly believing in yourself, number one. Sometimes you tend to follow the ideas of other people because you think somebody has a better answer than yourself. And the true innovators are the people that got a harebrained idea that nobody else has thought of yet, and you do it. Yeah. In terms of United Breaks Guitars, all of the things that I'm really grateful to be doing now were a result of me doing something that no other musician I knew would do, which is to write a silly song, put all that effort into it, and to have a message about bad customer service. Most people would focus on, they'd be chasing radios, where you put, where the money is. So you have to write a song, the radio single. I did something else and did it because I loved it, which I guess is my second point. Be passionate about it.
Yeah.
If you're passionate about it, it doesn't really matter if it's successful or not. You will have enjoyed that process we talked about. I think true innovators are pulled by this desire to do something unique, and they get a charge out of that.
Yeah.
And so enjoying the process, you may not be successful every time, but when you do hit a home run, it usually goes quite a distance.
Yeah, that's great advice. So believe in yourself and have passion about what you're going to do, or don't do it if you're not passionate about it, is perhaps the other way of putting that.
And I'd say probably associate with like-minded people as well. Innovators and people that are doing things that aren't conventional can be brought down by conventional thinking. And so there's a lot of that around, but there's also innovative thinkers who love and support the idea of doing something unique. And it's probably important to spend as much time with those people as possible too.
Yeah. That's great advice as well. I've sort of recently had the pleasure, I don't know if you know, of the Beechworth Bakery here in Victoria. And the guy that founded that now is a public speaker, and he's a real unique Australian character, and he sort of parodies himself in a lot of ways as well. But he has a lot of messages around customer service, and one of the things he says is don't let the dream taker steal your dream, and it's about believing in yourself and associating with positive people, like you say.
It's amazing.
So I also usually ask, what's the best thing you've done to develop new ideas? But I guess, you've probably answered that question, but I'll throw it back at you anyway.
I guess the simple answer is I've walked through every door that's been opened. Sometimes people have an opportunity and they second guess whether they're qualified to do it. And what I've discovered is that almost everybody in a position of leadership and authority, if you got them in a room and they were being completely honest, they would tell you that they always feel like frauds, or they don't feel like they have all the answers. And I'm no different than that, but my entire life has been filled with experiences where I didn't know what I was going to do, and just walking through, and the times I did take the chances, I always landed on my feet somehow. and was better for it. And I've never regretted taking chances. So I think if you want to take a little bit of risk, they say the biggest risk is to take no risk at all.
Yeah.
And so when I've had these opportunities, there's a lot of reasons why I shouldn't have done them. And if I listened to that conventional thinking, I wouldn't have, and no one would blame me. But in a position now where I'm doing things and offering value where I can, and associating with people who know a lot more than I do in the areas where I'm weak. And that's why I think those things will be successful, and why people should associate with like-minded people.
Yeah. Well, that's all great advice. So, you know, walk through the open doors of opportunity. You don't turn away. So do you have any systems or tools that you use to kind of keep yourself on track?
In terms of the speaking, I use a software tool called eSpeakers, and it's just a very simple program, probably difficult for them to make, but it's a great tool to keep everything in line, and it prods you with reminders to do things and access to other organizations, again, with like-minded people, that sort of thing. I use that tool a lot. It's how I know where I'm going to be. But in terms of some really high-tech innovative tool, not really. My whole business, my life is kind of simple in a lot of ways, where I just do the simple things consistently and keep walking through the open doorways.
Okay, well, that's fine. Yeah, great. So, and how do you see the best way to keep projects on track, things that you're doing?
I think that consistent hard work has never hurt. By staying focused, I think don't let your eye get taken off the ball. Stay with what you know, and what you do well consistently, and make sure that every time you do output something, that it's the same quality. So consistency is important, and just good. Constant vigilance. That's what it's about.
Constant vigilance. Yeah, that's good. Okay, and finally, what's the number one thing anyone can do to differentiate themselves?
Again, storytelling is where that would come in, and believing that your story is unique enough to be told. You just have to be a little bit more creative in how you do that. And so that expression of storytelling could be, if you're a roboticist, that what kind of robot would you build that would be different than somebody else's? And so if you want to stand out, you have to be creative, and when you're telling a story, you have to speak from the heart to the heart of the person you're talking to. If you're a business and you're talking about your features and the price, anybody can match that. But when you're talking about your why and your purpose and your passions, about why you do that, there are other people who will feel that, and that's what you want. You don't want people to hear what you're saying. You want them to feel it. And that's the difference in storytelling, is between good storytelling and bad storytelling. And that's how you stand out, is by appealing to the deeper heart level stuff that allows people to put themselves in the driver's seat of your experience and experience for themselves. And that's a skill.
Yeah, well, that's great advice. And I think, you know, that's probably one of the key things key success factors of the United Breaks Guitars stories, because you actually succeeded in doing that.
And again, I didn't know that any of that was going to happen. I couldn't have predicted it, but I did care about all of the details. I cared as a songwriter that I didn't just sit down and say, well, no one's paying me for this, so I'm not going to try on this song. I used my 20 years experience as a songwriter to come up with a formula that would maybe hopefully grab people's attention in a busy online environment for 4.5 minutes. And I used a song template in my structure, the same type of songs that I would use in a bar when I noticed that there's great people in this bar and I want to get their attention.
Yeah.
And so there were certain songs that made people pay attention more than others. So I used that tempo and that sort of those hooks. And so I cared about that, and I invited people to be part of the project who care about what they do, the band and the video company, they all care about the quality of the work that's associated to their name. And as a result, all those components came together and we had a really solid product.
Mm. Yeah, that's all great advice. And it's great to analyze the process in hindsight also when it all comes together like that and try to replicate that in the future, right?
Yeah, replicating it is harder than I wished it was. But sometimes you hit it right, and it's definitely worth going back and seeing what did I do right here and what elements were successful and replicate that. Control what you can and don't worry about what you can't control.
Yeah. Okay. Great. So what's the future for Dave Carroll?
Right now my plate's pretty full with these opportunities, but I continue, as I say, to love the speaking, love traveling around and sharing the crux of the story, but also the effects and the implications around it. And every year I'm learning something new and there's something else to discuss and explore with it. It's a great metaphor for a lot of things, but I'm also really passionate about helping other people to become better storytellers themselves. And that's probably one of the things I'm most passionate about these days.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm looking forward to exploring that and helping other people believe in themselves and know that what they're doing matters.
All right. That's great. Thanks, Dave. I want to come back to our competition. And as I said earlier, the prize today is a copy of Dave's book, United Breaks Guitars. And that's the story of how the power of one voice in today's world of social media can actually influence change in a profound way that actually improves things for a lot of people. Now, what we'd like you to do to enter the draw for that prize is leave us a comment, and I'll let Dave explain what we'd like to hear from you.
Well, I'm always interested, as I said to Jürgen before we started the podcast, that I'm interested in knowing the trends and learning as I go along as well, too. So I'm interested in hearing from people as to what you think the trends are in terms of customers and everybody else being able to communicate more effectively, to get their message out and become a better storyteller. How do you cut through the noise? What techniques do you use? What tools do you have? And what's the future look like in that regard for you?
Okay, great. Thanks for that. And so there you go. So leave your comments under the video and I'll get Dave to come back in a few weeks' time, have a look and award that prize. Is that okay?
Yeah, that's awesome.
Okay, that's great. Well, finally, what's the number one piece of advice you'd give any business owner that wants to be a leader in their field and be innovative and particularly have good relationships with their customers, I guess?
Congruency is one of the most important aspects, I think, of getting back to the five stories, all of these different perspectives, however you want to look at it. You can tell a story about who you are, but it has to be congruent with how you act and how you see other people. And I've said before that, you know, if you own a company and you're having a talk with your sales staff, if a customer were in the room, would you change your story that you're talking to the salespeople? And it shouldn't. You should be empowering your salespeople on how to sell more effectively, but it shouldn't be at the expense of customers. Your stories should definitely be congruent. There's a lot of strength in that, because then everything's perfectly aligned, much more strong and enduring and long-lasting if you're walking the talk and being congruent.
Yeah, that's great advice, yeah. We've recently started sharing our project management system and our total access to the project for the client, actually having them come in and seeing what conversations are happening within the system where, you know, the staff working on it will say, you know, we don't have this content or this bit's not working real well. So they actually have the opportunity to see what's happening and build in the background. And that's very much like, it's online, but it's very much like that online conversation that we have. And it's obviously got to be the same then with the customer in the room, because now we have them in their projects.
Well, I think one of my main messages when I'm talking is that you and I and everyone in the world are completely connected with one another in a fundamental way. And not everybody realizes that or embraces that as a possibility. And so if you really want to be a leader that has an organization that lasts and is relevant tomorrow, then maybe believing in this idea that we're connected could transform your business, because you'll automatically care about a customer you've never met before as you would your best friend or somebody else, because you will see yourself in all of these people. And caring about everybody else is a way to build relationships and trust and cohesiveness within your organization.
Yeah, that's great advice. All right, well, where can people reach out to say thank you for all that you've shared with us and the time you spent with us today, Dave?
People want to go to my website. It's davecarrollmusic.com. Yep. My email is dave@davecarrollmusic.com. But the website is where everything Dave Carroll is related. There's four doors there if you want any one aspect of music or the speaking and whatever. It all comes back to me, and I'd love to hear from anybody interested in chatting.
Okay, that's great. We'll post all the links underneath the podcast post so that people can follow those through. Finally, Dave, who would you like to see me interview on a future InnovaBuzz podcast, and why?
I think I'm part of a speakers exchange, and there's a small number of speakers, and we get together once a month just to talk about the like-mindedness again, what we've been up to, have we heard any new great ideas, how we can help each other. And there's a great speaker in that group called Dori Clark, and she's a branding expert, and she's traveling the world talking about branding, and we talk about some of the same things, but she's got her own style and goes off her own direction. She'd be a great person to talk to and well worth your time.
Okay. All right, Dori, look out for an invitation from me to the InnovaBuzz podcast, courtesy of Dave Carroll.
I'll tell her that you're not so scary, and it was worth it.
Yeah. Okay. Well, Dave, this has been absolutely fascinating. It's been an absolute privilege to have you here. I was sort of really stoked when I saw you respond to our invitation, and it's lived up to my expectations. I've been really excited, and I'm sure the audience are going to love this interview. So thanks very much for your time. I really appreciate it.
Thanks, Jürgen, and thanks for everybody who's watching.
Yeah. All right. Bye.
See ya.
Wow. Wow, that was fascinating, wasn't it? I hope you enjoyed meeting Dave and hearing his insights as much as I enjoyed interviewing him. It was a real privilege to have him on the podcast and to be able to present his insights to you. He was very generous with his time, and he shared a lot of information with us, not just the story of United Breaks Guitars, which that's always been an inspiration to me. And it was fantastic to have him share that story again with a slightly different perspective, but also not just the insights from his brainchild, but also the implications that's had on his own life, the opportunities that's brought about for him, and the initiatives that he has underway now. All sounds really fascinating stuff, and particularly the storytelling training. I'm really excited to learn more about that as it develops. Of course, you can subscribe to our podcast over on Stitcher if you're an Android person, or on iTunes if you're an iPod owner or want to listen on your iPhone. And that way you'll never miss a future episode, which hopefully will be in your interests as well as ours. All the show notes for this episode are going to be at innovabiz.com.au/Dave Carroll. That is DaveCarroll. That's right, two R's and two L's. innovabiz.com.au/Dave Carroll. All one word, all lowercase. Now, everything that we spoke about in the episode, the links and other references will be there, as well as the show notes. Remember, leave your comments underneath the video for your chance to win a copy of Dave's book, United Breaks Guitars, The Power of One Voice in the Age of Social Media. So what Dave would like to learn from all of us is, and leave this comment under the video, tell us what you think the trends are today in being able to communicate more effectively, being a better storyteller, cutting through the noise that we're all faced with, and getting your message across. I'll get Dave to swing by in a few weeks and award the prize to the entry that he likes the best. Now, Dave suggested I interview branding expert Dory Clark, who's the author of a book called Reinventing You, on a future podcast here. So, Dory, keep your eyes on your inbox. We'll be coming to get you, courtesy of Dave Carroll, on the InnovaBuzz podcast. Now, I do hope you like these podcasts and value the contribution that all our guests are making to the information and learnings that we might all get from time to time on a daily basis. And if you do like these podcasts, then I'd love it if you would head over to iTunes and give us a 5-star rating, because it really does help to get us ranked better on iTunes and get us found by more people. And, you know, we don't want to keep all this wonderful information for ourselves, do we? We're all about sharing and caring here. Now, of course, if you think we suck and you don't like what we're doing, then and you're still listening at this stage, then go ahead and post some suggestions on iTunes. Give us a 1-star rating, but tell us what you think we need to improve on, and we'll take that into account, and we'll continue to improve these podcasts as we go forward. Now, as I say, we do really want to share this as widely as we can. So if you're on the social networks, please share this with your network and get them to find out more about Dave Carroll and the United Breaks guitar story. So until next time, remember, if you don't innovate, you stagnate. So think big, be adventurous, and keep innovating.